verses 1 to 18. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows on his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I do to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are here to listen to your voice. May our hearts be ready, be prepared, and you can put the seed that will bear fruit for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Brothers, we are reaching the end of Paul's warm and urgent letter to the Galatians. And from the beginning of this letter, Paul has been defending the gospel of grace. In chapter 1, if you remember, he is shocked that the Galatians has been saying to the Galatians, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. I'm astonished. And then through chapter 2 to 5, Paul explains that salvation is not earned by human works, but is received by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And now we come to chapter 5, and Paul taught us about freedom, not freedom to live for ourselves, but freedom from guilt, from fear, and from slavery to the law. That's why he starts in chapter 5 saying, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit against the yoke of slavery. This freedom, Paul is saying, produces a beautiful fruit. And he mentioned what is that fruit at the end of Galatians chapter 5. He says, this fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so we come now to chapter 6, a whole chapter at once. And Paul is asking us, if we are truly walking by the Spirit, what will our lives look like? And the answer is simple but yet profound. Grace leaves visible marks. Just like a fruit proves a tree is alive, the marks of grace prove the gospel is alive in us. And so today, let's see three unmistakable marks of grace-filled life. And the first mark is grace restores the fallen. Notice how Paul begins in chapter 6 saying, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. In the spirit of gentleness. Paul says, if anyone is caught, he knows that even in a church filled with people who love Jesus, there will be times when believers fall into sin. And when that happens, the mark of grace is restoration. And let me explain the word restore in this verse. If anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. The word restore is the same word used when fixing a broken bone. It's not violent or angry. It is a tender, careful. It can be painful, but it's healing. And so the opposite of grace is when we use pride. When you see a broken bone and you think, I was expecting that from you. And when there is no grace, when someone sins, people whisper, he deserves it. You don't tell them, but then you think inside, he deserves it. We judge and we push that person away. But in a grace-filled church, we come close to the broken. We pray for them and we help them to walk again. We restore. We put that tender bone broken. We try to put them together. And let me give you a biblical example of how grace restores the fallen. One of the most outstanding leaders in the early church was John Mark. Not that one, but the biblical here. And John Mark famously abandoned Paul and Barnabas during their first missionary trip. Do you remember that story? Paul was deeply disappointed. In fact, when Barnabas suggested taking Mark again in the second missionary journey, Paul refuses. He says, no way. And what happened is the two missionaries, maybe the two biggest missionaries of all history, Paul and Barnabas, they two parted ways. And you can read the story there in the book of Acts, chapter 15. And that moment looked like was the end for John Mark's ministry. But grace was not finished with him. Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement. What a beautiful name, eh? Barnabas. Son of encouragement. He believed in restoring the fallen. He took Mark under his wing and he restored him. And years later, when Paul was writing from the prison to his disciple Timothy, in 2 Timothy, he is saying to Timothy, "Timothy, please get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry." And that's how grace restored John Mark, who later became the author of the Gospel of Mark. And yesterday, in the middle of all the things that come to my mind, I start to read the book of Mark with these new lenses. Let's read Mark, thinking about how he was restored, and you will find very interesting every word that he is using there in the Gospel of Mark. It's homework for you, Sunday afternoon. Grace restored Mark. This is the power of grace. And you know another another fact. The name Barnabas is never found in the Gospels or then in the book of Acts or then in any other epistles in the New Testament. That was the last time that his name is written in the New Testament. Son of encouragement. He didn't do it for renown, for fame, for gain, personal gain. But we have the testimony of what he did in a book here in the scriptures. What a beautiful testimony of how we can encourage one another. And then Paul continues here and say, "Now even as we help others, we must be humble. We are not better than the one who fell. We are not better than the one that we are restoring." And Paul continues at the end of verse 1 and says, "Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." Grace reminds us that we are all in need of restoration at some point. It's like when we have these flowers, one for you and one for me. At one point, all of us, we are going to need restoration. And that's why Paul continues in verse 2 saying, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." What is the law of Christ? Well, it is the law of love. The same love that Christ showed when he carried our sins to the cross. That is the law of love. Our church mark by grace is not a place where people carry their problems alone. It is a place where we help each other. We cry with each other and we walk together. And that's the first mark of Christ, restoring the fallen. But now Paul turns to another mark of grace. Grace sows, sows to the Spirit. He writes in verse 7, he says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." That is a spiritual law. Like one of these law of physics. Everything that goes up will come. Well, that's a spiritual law here in the scripture. If we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. It is inevitable. If we sow to the Spirit, the result is we reap eternal life. And what does it mean to sow to the Spirit? It means invest your time, your energy, your resources, and your life into the things of God. When we pray, when we worship, when we give with generosity, when we serve others, and when we are growing together, that is when we are sowing to the Spirit. But sowing is hard work. It is hard work, and it requires patience. Think about a farmer. How much time they invest before they are going to put the seed, and then after they put the seed. It's a lot of work. But after that hard work, you need to be patient. A farmer does not plant a seed and expect fruit for the next day. It will be easier. The fruit comes later. Sometimes much later. And sometimes, when we talk about these spiritual things, sometimes we are not seeing the fruit of our labor. That's why Paul encourages in verse 9, "Let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Let me tell you a story to illustrate this. In the 18th century England, a quiet Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball decided to invest his life in a handful of teenage boys. And one day, nervous and trembling, he walked into a shoe store and shared the love of Christ, the gospel, with a young man working in that shoe store. And that young man was Dwight L. Moody. And so he would go on to become one of the greatest evangelists in history, preaching to millions, founding schools for our orphans, and sending missionaries across the world. But Moody was only the beginning. Years later, a man named Wilbur Chapman was converted at one of Moody's evangelistic meetings. And Wilbur Chapman became an evangelist too. And under Wilbur Chapman's ministry, a baseball player named Billy Sunday came to faith. And Billy Sunday gave his life to preaching as well, impacting thousands in the U.S. And from Billy Sunday ministry, a young man named Mordecai Ham came to know Christ. And in one of Mordecai Ham's evangelistic meetings in North Carolina, a teenager named Billy Graham walked forward to receive Christ. One nervous conversation in a shoe store planted a seed that grew into a harvest reaching hundreds of millions of souls. Kimball did not live to see the harvest. This is a story that I am telling you about 125 years. He didn't see the harvest, but he sowed to the Spirit. And his small act of obedience became part of God's eternal plan. This is the power of sowing to the Spirit. And so that's what Paul means when he says, in due season we will reap. Maybe not you or me, but the church. We as a corporate, we're going to reap if we do not give up. You may think your service is small. You may think, or you may wonder if your generosity, your prayers, and your quiet faithfulness matter. But Paul says, do not grow weary. It matters. Keep doing, keep sowing to the Spirit. He continues adding something very important. In verse 10, he says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So into the Spirit begins with eyes wide open to the opportunities God places before us. We are called to do good to everyone, neighbors, even enemies. But notice what the scripture tells us in this passage. But, and especially, Paul says, to our spiritual family, the household of faith, what he was telling these little churches, especially to your local church, to your little group where you are gathering as God's people, those especially do good. The church is not just a place where we attend. It is the body of Christ. It is the family of God, and we are called to prioritize, to love, and to care, and to encourage, and to support our brothers and sisters that we are seeing Sunday, yes, and Sunday, yes, again. Every Sunday you are seeing these faces, and Paul is telling us, especially you, and you. Then the rest, but especially those who you are seeing face to face in the household of God, in this little place. When you pray for someone in the church, you are sowing to the Spirit. When you bear with one another's weakness, you are sowing to the Spirit. When you serve quietly, when you give with generosity, and forgive freely, you are sowing to the Spirit. And in due season, God is promising. It's a spiritual law. He says, we will reap. This is the second mark of grace. Grace sows to the Spirit. Paul ends this letter with passion. Notice in verse 11, he's telling this little church, see with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Paul is emphasizing this final point because this is very personal for him. This is something that he wants to make clear, to write clear, and that we see it clear. I wonder why they didn't put these letters bigger in this passage, like Paul did. Because he says, see with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. This is the core of the gospel. He says, the false teachers boasted about their religious achievements. They wanted to avoid persecution, so they preached a message of law and works because that's what everybody were doing. But Paul says, far be it from me to boast except in the cross, on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the third and final mark of grace. The Christian life is not about boasting about what we have done. It is about boasting about what Jesus has done. The cross is not something to be ashamed of. It is our glory. It is the place where our sins were forgiven. It is the place where grace was put out for all of us. And Paul says, by which the world has been crucified to me. I don't care anymore about what the world thinks about me or the things that I should be doing for the world. I am crucified for that kind of things. I am dead for that kind of mentality. And he says, and I to the world, we are not compatible anymore. We are not compatible. It's like when you are trying to connect a hard drive in a Mac and then you try it in a PC, they are not compatible. Or a mouse in Apple Mac, and a PC, they are not compatible. Paul is saying, I am dead and we do not match anymore. I am dead. Because of the cross, I no longer belong to the world. I no longer seek the world's approval. I belong to Jesus. And so therefore, he continued, neither circumcision counts for anything in verse 15. Neither circumcision counts for anything. I am circumcised, Paul was saying. I'm not, but Paul, I'm circumcised. But he says nothing is nothing. Nor uncircumcision. But what is important is that we are new creation. We live under another standard. We live under another creation. We are a completely new specimen. Different. Maybe these days we do not boast about circumcision anymore, but let's be honest. We'll still find plenty of other things to brag about. As Christian, we can fall into the trap of boasting about our victories. Maybe our good and Christian victories. We boast about our clean lives. We boast about our good families. We boast about the sins we have left behind. We boast about how strong we are, how wise we are, how good we are. But listen, Paul cries out, boast only in the cross. Not in your victories, not in your strength, not in your love. Boast in the cross. Because everything you are, forgiven, free, alive, is not because of you, but is because of Jesus. He was rich, yet became poor. He was full, yet the Bible tells us that he emptied himself. He was perfect, yet he was broken for you. So true boasting sounds like this. I have nothing left because I have given everything like Jesus. When we do that, we can boast. If I am small, it is so that others can grow. If I am weak, it is because I have poured out my life in love, just like Christ poured out his life for me. If I have anything in my pockets, it's because I have given it. So when we live this way, when we give everything, when we empty it of pride and we full love and put out our life for others, so then we can say, it is not me, it is Christ. That's how we boast in the cross. The only glory we give is to Jesus. The only song we sing is to Jesus. And the only victory we claim is in Jesus. So then we can lift up our voices and we can boast, but we will boast in the cross. Because in the end, it is Jesus. So you see, Paul began with a warning not to turn away from the gospel of grace, and he ends with an invitation to live. To live for the gospel of grace. Live it when someone fails. Live it when burdens feel too heavy. Live it with our resources, with our time. Live it with our relationships. And live it by taking pride only in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And so we are not anymore people under the law. We are people of the cross. We restore the fallen as we have been restored. We carry burdens as Christ carry our burden. We give abundantly as Christ gave abundantly. And we always point to the cross. So I ask you this morning, what marks your life? What marks our church. It is guilt or grace? Fear or freedom? Rules or love? The invitation for all of us this morning is to be a people not known by performance, pride, or perfection, but by the unmistakable marks of grace that we find in this letter. We live by the Spirit, by the fruit of the Spirit that is the result of the grace that we have received through Jesus Christ on the cross. That's why, notice how Paul finished his letter in verse 17. For now on, let no one cause me trouble. I don't care anymore. For I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The marks of Jesus are the marks of grace. And verse 18, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. No more to say. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you for this beautiful letter that we have been studying and learning from. We pray, Lord, that you will make this truth. You will make these marks a reality among ourselves, Lord, in this church. That we will live restoring. That we will let others to restore us. That we will sow to the Spirit. And that we will boast only in the cross of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.